Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, presented in part by St. Luke's Hospital, St. Louis's number one heart hospital, on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Back at it on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Cardinals played this afternoon. They lost to the Cubs 3-0, but with them playing day baseball today, we've got the show tonight. Very happy to have it. Three straight days of being able to do Sports Open Line, which has been great with a couple of off days or a couple of day games and an off day in there from the Cardinals. College football season, it is right around the corner. It's actually closer for Lindenwood than just about any team out there. They are going to open up their season on Thursday, August 27th. That's about a week and a half in front of most teams in college football, so it is coming up very, very soon. Happy to welcome on to the program. He is the head coach of the Lindenwood football team. It is Jed Stewart. Coach, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. Good to be on with you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is coming fast for you. Your counterparts around college football have a little bit more time than you do to get ready for your first game.
Man, I tell you, it's like you wait around all summer, and I feel like we just started, and like I just was listening to the lead in there when you said how close this thing is. It's like it's right upon us, and at the end, the excitement's in the air. We're out here. We got Fan Fest going on our field right now, and so we got a lot of fans and kids out here, but football's definitely, the energy's pretty high around Lindenwood. We're pretty excited about it.
What is it like, big picture, and we'll talk about your team this year in a second, but from a big picture standpoint, because you've been there for a little while now and you've watched this evolution as you guys have made the transition to where you're at right now and then really had a solid season last year. You're picked third in the preseason poll this year. You got a first place vote, high expectations for this team. Fans seem to be really embracing Lindenwood football. How much have you enjoyed just watching this whole thing happen over the last really kind of 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, it's been exciting. This is our 10th football season here now, and so we've seen a lot of changes for the good, obviously, when we were Division II, and then, you know, this new era of being Division I. It feels like we just started, but, you know, we're, you know, here we go starting our fifth year into it, and transitions. I know we don't really like to use the word transition, but it's, these are always tough. You know, you got to have a great, if you don't have the support of the school, and I will say Dr. Porter, our president, has always been behind this move. Our athletic director, Jason Coomer, I always felt like when you got that kind of support behind you that are committed to this for all sports, not just football, it makes it a little easier. And then we got to kind of do our part, the recruiting and everything, to kind of flip that roster over. And for the most part, I would say that we've handled this move fairly well and probably quicker and a little more successful than a lot of people that have moved up this early. So we're grateful for that.
And you've done this all during a period where it seems like every day there's new rules when it comes to college athletics. Things are being challenged in court. You don't know. It's the wild, wild west right now in college athletics. So to try to build the program the way you're doing, where it's a different rule for this and that every moment, I have to think that adds to the challenge.
It does. I mean, there's a really strong chance that there'll be a real change by the time we get off this interview, to be honest with you. It's crazy. But, I think we always kind of say in our staff here that we're going to stay in our lane. You know, you have to kind of adjust to some things. But I think, you know, we've kind of stayed in our lane when it comes to recruiting. And, you know, I know with the transfer portal and all this stuff, we've still been very heavy recruiting the area. We always say we're loyal to the Lou. You know, we look at our, you know, over half our rosters from probably an hour from this place. And, you know, that's something we've always been committed to. And developing those young guys, I start looking at our team that we have right now that we're going to put on a field here in a week and a half. And you start looking about how many guys have come back, been in our program, that have been here, we've developed, and now they're showing up on the field. And, yeah, we've added some – we always added some transfers and things like that. But, you know, I think, you know, you can't get too distracted by all these new rules and things. You just got to kind of roll with it. But if you kind of stay in that foundation, we feel like we've weathered those things pretty well.
Has the 5-5 thing that's coming in, has that impacted you at all yet?
Yeah. I mean, we were able to get two guys from last year's team that thought their career was over, that we were able to get back on our team this year, and they were in great spots. I mean, you know, we had an all conference, offensive lineman that, you know, even had a pro day and had a couple NFL workouts that was who didn't get signed, but now he's We get to add him back to our offensive line, which is a huge help, and Gavin Hewitt. And then, in the safety position, Eric Gant, another starting safety for us last year that had a heck of a year, comes back, and all of a sudden that safety room got even more veteran with him coming back and the leaders in both those kids. So still trying to figure out really how it affects moving down the road. There's a lot of moving parts, and they're, you know, the NCAA is still trying to block this and the appellate court trying to get it turned around again. I hope, you know, for the kids' sake, I hope that, you know, a judge would recognize that, you know, if we keep playing these games with these kids, you know, they're here, now you got to tell them they're not. I have a feeling it's going to hold for football season, I would hope. But, yeah, again, like you just said before, it's just – you got to sit back and kind of let all the dust settle and just adjust accordingly.
You mentioned the importance of the St. Louis area for your recruiting. And when Phil Steele released the all-conference preseason teams, you had five first-teamers: Steve Hall, Jalen Smith, Andrew Swingle, Jacob Waller, and Christopher Bennett Jr. Four of those five guys are from the St. Louis area. So can you speak to not just being able to retain players from St. Louis, but also those guys being the leaders of your team?
Yeah, 100%. I think obviously the Division One move helped a lot with that. We did really well when we were Division Two recruiting the area, but you know, it just seemed like, you know, a lot of kids that wanted to have a Division One opportunity would slip away to SEMO or to Eastern Illinois or places that were somewhat close. And I think we really saw that change. It really, not really a change, I think it just exasperated it a little bit to be Division One. I think a lot of kids in the area, you know, we say, you know, in the St. Louis area, a lot of them haven't even been out here. And once they get out here and see St. Charles, they see the facilities, they see Lindenwood, it's obviously, it's close to home, but it still feels like it's a little bit away. And of course, we're blessed by the facilities that we have here and the location that we have here. And so I think we've really made that the moment I set foot on campus here as the new head coach, we were going to make that a priority to recruit. St. Louis is a hotbed of talent. I mean, you know, we have a mega camp here every year in June. You know, there's 1,800 kids that come to this mega camp and 400 and some coaches from all over the country. And it's not necessarily because it's Lindenwood, it's because of all the talent that's in St. Louis. And so, you know, it makes our job a little easier from a recruiting standpoint.
And when you've got that many kids out there, I know you know some of your main targets that are going to be there and you want to keep eyes on them. But when you've got events like those other camps going on, that's a lot of people to have an eye on at any given moment just to maybe learn about other players.
No doubt. You know, people ask me all the time, even friends of mine that coach other places, you know, they're kind of amazed that we let all these coaches come in here. And I think it's to our advantage because a lot of them are trying to drive their recruits to Lindenwood so they can get a look at them. So anytime our competition wants to send guys they're recruiting to Lindenwood to look at this place, to look at the location, I think that benefits us, you know. And so, and we're, you know, obviously we can't sign 1,800 kids, but I think what's great though is they're all level. We have coaches from NAIA up to Division Power Four. We have what, 8 or 10 Power Four schools that come in here. All ranges of levels in college football, and kids get a chance to get recruited. It's a pretty cool thing.
I'm well aware of the fact that you're not looking at your third game of the season. You're very focused on August 27th. You might be focused on practice tomorrow and not much more than that, but I'm going to ask you a question about the third game of the season because you're going to travel down to Springfield and you're going to take on Missouri State. And that's a program that just went through a transition of their own where they went from FCS to FBS. Are you excited to see what your program looks like against a Missouri State team that just went through that transition?
Yeah, I am. And, you know, I knew the former coach, Ryan, pretty well. Beard, he, you know, great guy. Got to know him really well. You know, we played him 2 years ago, actually played him pretty well. We ended up losing by 14 points. But, you know, the second half, we were kind of creeping back in and making some plays. So we got to see that in our transition, playing a quality FCS team. And Ryan and I even talked a little about when they made that move, we talked a little bit about, this is my third transition as a head coach, and he kind of knew that in my career. So, you know, him and I talked a lot about, you know, kind of the things to expect and things like that. So, you know, anytime we get to play two FBS teams this year to kind of gauge where our team's at, our kids loved it. We went to Appalachian State last year. We almost pulled off an upset there. We had the ball with 2 minutes left, and we're down by 7, and we're driving, and, you know, we hope to you know, we want to go in and just you're right. For the sake of your question, I'm willing to answer that question, but I am definitely staring at our schedule for tomorrow's little half scrimmage that we're having tomorrow. That's where my focus is. But it's going to be fun to drive down the road and play. I think they're going to be a very solid, good football team.
Have you been happy as camp has moved along and as you do get ready for what's coming up tomorrow? Do you feel like your team is where you want it to be at this point?
Yeah, I think you always gauge it by where you're at in camp. You want to kind of have these little a sliding scale to say, okay, by this practice, we need to be doing these things. We're a big situational practice, so we practice all kinds of game situations. And so, we're going to have a young quarterback that's starting, you know, for the first time in the Robert Pops battle out of East St. Louis. And he's, he hasn't been a quarterback yet in college, but he's been here for 2 years, again, developing and been an integral part of our quarterback room. And so, you know, we're putting him in a lot of game situations, a lot of pressure situations. And I really do like, number one, I just really like the character of this team. I think I kind of noticed it. Again, when you're not a real transfer portal heavy team, you know, I think we only added 20 players to our team. And that was from guys that have graduated. And, you know, so the bulk of our team has been here. So spring ball was very, the winter and spring was very familiar. Everybody knew each other. We're a very close team. And so I think that helps. But, you know, just anytime you have this many guys returning that have had a lot of football under their belt, they're very mature. We've got great leadership on this team. It's probably a team it's been a while that I've been this excited about just the little foundation they're laying. And now we just got to go out and put it together on a field and kind of see how we are with the X's and O's.
Let me finish you off with this. Not only are you starting early on August 27th, that's a league game. So you're going to start, you're going to jump right into conference play. That I've been around coaches long enough to know that there's got to be a little bit of a discomfort that goes along with playing a league game and playing it early.
Well, I'm probably one of those crazy coaches and stuff because I think it's awesome.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things where, because the way I look at it, you know, it's an even playing field. They're facing somebody for the first time. And, you know, we played this team. Their coach is a really great guy. I've gotten to know him, Gabe, and he puts together very disciplined football teams. We had to come from behind last year to beat them. And, you know, they're going to remember that and they're going to be jazzed up. So we're reminding our team of that. But I think our guys know – I think they're very hungry. We left a couple games out there last year. We had a couple losses that we feel like was self-inflicted. And as the coaching staff, I got to take the fault for one of those losses and just some of our special team stuff. But, you know, I think our guys are hungry, and I don't think they're going to be overlooking that game because they want a piece of this conference championship, and we got to get the first one out of the chute. That's all we've talked about with these guys is a conference game right out of the chute, and I think they're pretty excited about it.
Well, for folks who want football, you can get it over at Hunter Stadium on Thursday, August 27th. Check out Lindenwood Football this year. You can get all the details on tickets and their schedule, LindenwoodLions.com. That's LindenwoodLions.com. If you've never gone to a Lindenwood football game, make that change this year and check them out. It's great to have college football at that level so close to us here in the St. Louis area. Their head coach is Jed Stewart. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and hopefully we can catch up with you every once in a while as the season goes along.
Yeah, Matt, we're just grateful you had us on. It's fun to talk to you, and then challenge people to come out, like you said, the game day atmosphere. Come out here 3 hours before the game. It's quite an experience. So hopefully we see a lot of people out here.
Awesome.
God bless. Appreciate your time.
You bet, Coach. Thank you so much. All right, that's head coach Jed Stugart from the Lindenwood football program. Appreciate him taking some time with us. Again, August 27th, that's 2 weeks from yesterday. I can do math. 2 weeks from yesterday. So you've got college football in the area coming up very, very soon. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our good friend Jen Cease will be with us. We'll talk all things City SC with her. A lot going on with that team, and we'll get her thoughts on it in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Again, the biggest news of the day that we've been talking about a whole bunch, Joshua Baez. He is being called up by the Cardinals. He is going to be in the starting lineup. He's going to be in left field coming up tomorrow. So a big-time promotion, a big-time debut tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun for sure, and we'll jump back into Cardinals talk in just a moment or so. For those of you who do not know Baez, he is considered the number three prospect in the organization. He is, by many outlets, is a top 100 prospect. So he's Lots of excitement. He's got a ton of power, and we'll see if that translates to the big league level. Let's switch gears, though, and we'll talk some City SC soccer. It is Friday. That means we're bringing in our good friend. She is a part of the team here at KMOX. She's also part of the broadcast over at Y98 covering City SC. It is Jen Cease. Hey, Jen.
Hey, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
You were talking about all the big news, and I'm like, here we go with Marcel Hartle.
I mean, it was a bit. That's been established. So let's start with that then, and we'll just from 30,000 feet or whatever. What is your takeaway on the way the whole Hartle situation played out, from the he's not with the team anymore all the way to what they got back for him to many is very underwhelming?
Yeah. So if you really go back further than, frankly, in April, I was not aware of this German article, right? About like kind of a blogger, an article where Marcel Hartle had spoken and said, you know, hey, we're thinking about, like, it would be really great to move back to Germany, been in America for a couple of years. And those people who did notice it really kind of took that as seeing like in the future sometime, because that makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't you want to return to your home country? Well, then you fast forward from April to the end of May. Cedric Teuchert is now leaving the club. The Hartles and the Teuchert are very, very close friends. Janis Horn also as well. And now we fast forward to the end of July, and now you kind of got these first, you know, rumblings of a transfer. It's like, is it just gossip, rumor? And then you get to August 4th, and I think it was August 4th, and the Tom Bogert equivalent over in Germany is Florian Plettenberg, of course, of SK Germany, and he was basically saying, hey, other than signing paperwork, this is a done deal. So like in a two-week period from the end of July to finally when we get to August 8th and then August 12th of being truly, truly complete, and we now know Marcel Hartle is over at Hannover 96, it does feel like whiplash. It feels like, what is going on? Because when I was asked a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I don't see that happening. Like I have got nothing coming from Marcel or talking with him that is anything other than happy with being with the club, with St. Louis. So it was a little bit of surprise. Most things, as you know, Matt, probably don't catch clubs by surprise. I'm sure this wasn't something that just, you know, hit them a few, you know, a couple of weeks ago and all of a sudden they had to figure it out. But I don't know that there's the conspiracy that I am seeing out there. I'm seeing some pretty awful things about why the move and what the move and what to do. Here's what I don't think. I don't think Marcel Hartle was unhappy at St. Louis City SC. I think he likes the city. I think he likes the club. Could perhaps he and his family have missed their friends? Perhaps. Their family has changed, added a baby to the family. I know what that's like. Things change. My fear, this is one thing I have not said to anybody just yet. My fear for them, if you're moving that quickly, is that perhaps something is wrong with, please no, not a baby, not a child, that maybe there's something wrong back at home and they need to be there. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just wait a couple more months, right? The season's close to being done. I mean, hopefully if you get to the postseason, maybe you can go to December. That's not that far away. But something was urgent enough to say, we have to do this now. We just don't know what. So that's what I have to say about that part. When it comes to the club, you know, so far still, other than just kind of addressing it in the press release, we haven't heard from the front office as to why or what. Johan de May and the team doesn't seem to have any ill will. Seems to be something that was necessary. But if you're a fan and you're looking at who creates a lot of that magic right now, we're missing our magic man. And of course, that is a kind of a slap across the face. Yes, as the team is finding its stride and climbing its way past the playoff line. And it does feel like a punch to the gut. So I don't know exactly. That is not a great answer other than, it happened. We have to move on. And in the future, once MLS transfers over and gets into modeling what the rest of the world does, we're not going to have a lot of these issues happen. Like as we're gearing to the playoffs, other teams in Europe, they're just starting their season. So when you've got a good player like Marcel Hartle that's ripe for the picking, you've got people calling and wooing your players saying, hey, we like you over here. Come on over. The water's nice. Come on. And the player's in the middle of the season. And that's not going to happen when it goes to when we kind of model the rest of the world and we have the same transfer windows. And it's not going to happen in the middle of our season.
Yeah, that's actually was going to be my next question for you. Basically, how much do you think this is connected to the fact that if internally he'd already made the decision that he wanted to move on from, you want to get to the place that you want to go at a place that makes more sense for their calendar than the calendar of the place you're currently at, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that does. Because if you look at it, you know, MLS runs from February to December, if you go all the way to the playoffs. But Europe, they're running, they're starting now. August is when they're starting, and they run through May. So our secondary transfer window is in their prime. That is when they are like hot. Like Hanover is like, you know, advertising and saying, we're going to bring in great players, just like we want St. Louis City to do with us, right? Tease us, bring us along, show us somebody great, give us our DP9, right? That is what Hanover was doing, because our middle of the season is right when they're getting started. So to them, it's a retooling and a starting. And for us, for MLS, we're pushing for playoffs. And we're like, Dad, why are we losing our players at the worst time possible? And that's because our seasons don't align. So when we forward to next year, July 2027, we're going to have from February to May. It's going to be what MLS is calling a sprint season. I think it's like the shortest season ever, where they're going to crown a champion. And then we kind of start to model the rest of the world that we're going to, you know, we're going to be in the mix for those elite players around the world that are coming into their end of their contracts. Now, the next question you might say is St. Louis City SC willing to pay for that? Are you going to pay for an elite player to come over here? Well, I would like to think so. If we're going ahead and we're getting this money from Marcel Hartl, which, to your point, doesn't seem like a lot. It doesn't seem like a ton. Now, I believe his transfer, Matt Rocchio, I know, is in studio. He could probably confirm with you. I believe when we got Marcel Hartl, we did not pay a transfer fee, if I remember correctly.
Rocchio is agreeing with you on that.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool, cool. Got that right. So if you look at it that way, you know, transfer to transfer, you maybe didn't lose out. However, Marcel Hartl has, you know, shown himself in 2 years to be a fantastic player. If you look at his stats in 2 years, 24 goals, 18 assists, 67 appearances, and that's just in the 2 years, you know, he's really sold himself to be elite. Now he's going to a second-tier Bundesliga team, which tells me his move was absolutely necessary. Because otherwise, why would you step a little bit down in tier in your career? Although fans of Bundesliga might say the second tier of Bundesliga is just fine.
How concerned are you that where this team is playing very good soccer and they're getting results, they haven't lost in a really, really long time, how concerned are you that the air that comes out of the team with your best player walking out of the door, that all of a sudden this could push them back a little bit to them not being as effective?
Yeah, I think, well, it's right there. So if you hear from a guy like Konrad Vollem, that was there as well at the press conference, you know, he's Norwegian, he's blunt. He really looked at all of us and was like, hey guys, this happens all the time. Like we're used to stuff like this in our world. This is not the end of the world. I think he literally said, we can't go crying about it in the locker room. We have a game to get ready for. So it seems like, if you talk to the players, you talk to Coach Demay, that they're in a good place, but they're not fools. They know who they've lost. It's like when we didn't have Edward Luzon for the longest time. The team was not as good, and it took a while. So, yeah, I think there's going to be an adjustment. And the question is everybody that's there right now and playing their best, can they execute Demay's system in such a way that can be superior enough to beat a team that right now is third in the Western Conference? You remember, San Jose came to Energizer Park. DeMay was really happy with how we played, but we lost 3-2. They smacked us around a little bit at our home turf. They're playing good soccer. They're high in the conference standing. So it's not the best game to maybe go and say, okay, our best player on the pitch is now gone. Oh, but we have this great player, Alexander Matan, who seems like a great spark plug. I'm interested in seeing him play. We also have Carlo Holza, but his fitness is going to be an issue right now. So even though he's a stud DP, how studly can you be if you can't go a 90? We'll have to see for sure. But yeah, I think for Johan Demay and the team, who are, I'm sure, already on their way right now to San Jose, that your goal, of course, is to take all 3 points. But I think either way, you have got to get a result there. It's not just because you're still climbing in the standings. You have to show to yourself and the fans of St. Louis that despite who we lost, who is a massive player, we still believe in this system and we can still win games.
Matthew Rocchio informed me a few moments ago that Tom Bogert, who you referenced earlier, was doing a podcast. And I guess the paraphrase was that there's still some separation between the team and Edward Luvin in terms of maybe getting him locked into a longer-term deal. Just considering the fact that Hartle's walking out the door, is it fair to say that there's even more importance that the organization finds a way to make sure that Luvin does remain part of this organization long-term?
Yeah, well, actually, now that you said that, now you got me thinking about it. Yeah, for sure. I wasn't thinking about that. I was stressed about a lot of things, Matt, but not that.
That's what I do. I bring stress to people's lives. Just ask my wife.
But yeah, I mean, you think about it. And now, Edward Luvin's, I feel like, you know, he's a guy, a player who kind of stands on his own. He was here before Hartle, before Giannis Horn was with the team, you know, before all that was kind of occurring. But to the point, they're all German. They played together on, I think, the U19, it was, maybe U21, a German youth national team. They have that experience, and Edward Luvin has had one of the biggest losses you can have in your life. So what's keeping him in St. Louis? If you really think about it from a personal perspective, the family's home, if home is home, and if St. Louis isn't enough of a home when you've had that kind of loss, maybe you're rethinking things. So to your point, yeah. You're St. Louis City SC, and you see Edward Luvin is Johan DeMacy's Edward Luvin is really a part of this system, which is interesting because Matt Rocchio was there as well. We heard DeMay talking about possibly moving him around. You're not seeing Edward Luvin mostly in the center of the field, maybe seeing him over on the left side here, pushing him higher up the pitch, which is not something he's typically favored. I wonder if DeMay is trying to figure out, does he really fit the way I want him to fit in this system? And if he doesn't, then St. Louis City might have a different decision to make. But I, for one, would like to see A to stay.
Late night soccer on Saturday. They match up against San Jose, the broadcast over on our sister station, Y98. They played San Jose earlier this year, lost by a goal, 3-2. Other than the fact that the team is just playing better soccer now, what can be the difference to reverse that coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly it. Playing their game, but also remember San Jose. Here's how I remember San Jose. Within the first 5 minutes of the game, can't remember the player. Matt will know it right off the top of his head. But Timo Baumgartel got shoved to the ground, just stiff-armed. The ball was nowhere near, and San Jose was making a point of saying, we've just walked in your house, and we just trampled all over your carpet with dirty feet, and we don't care. So it was really, for me as a soccer player, very insulting. So I felt insulted by that win. So, yeah, they've got to go in. And now they got to do it in San Jose's house. San Jose's 3 in the Western Conference. I think not only does City have to play their game, but they also need to play chippy. San Jose's a chippy, really kind of, dirty is a bad word. I don't want to say dirty, but, you know, they're not afraid to try some things off the ball. They're not afraid to get in your head. And St. Louis City SC is going to have to play with a little, I don't know, what do you call it? Chutzpah. Going to have to play with a little bit, some of, you know, a little bit of chip on the shoulder and, you know, maybe a gesture that you can't show on TV and says, hey, we're here to take this game. We're here to at least take a point. We'll take all 3 and we'll do it to you, what you did to us back in, I think it was April.
Who's your player profile this week?
Oh, Son Bin-jong. So I've been so excited to talk to him. He was a little uncomfortable last year. I can't even imagine these players who, you know, come from another country. They don't speak the language and they're brave enough to even do a press conference. And, you know, he was amazing to talk to. So that's another fun player to see how DeMay is going to use him. We've typically seen him on the right. If Edward Luvin's not in, it's been Son Bin, and he's, you know, we know what he's there to do. Put the ball in behind and he's going to go run onto it and stretch the defense. But Johan DeMay has kind of intimated this week that he could be used also in some other positions. Like, is he going to go up top? Is he going to be a double striker with Simon Betcher? So it'll be interesting to see that and to hear also about his journey and talking about some of his best memories were also not only being here in St. Louis, but appearing for his national team and playing with Son Heung-min of LAFC.
He wasn't available in the first matchup. With his speed and the way San Jose plays, it seems like maybe that's something that they can take advantage of.
Yes, I would love to see that because San Jose is not afraid to push their defensive lineup, right? You know, we know when St. Louis City pushes up and sometimes Roman Berkey seems to come all the way to the circle, we're pushing really high. San Jose likes to try that, and I'd love to see them try that against Son Bin.
Awesome. Jen, we appreciate your time. We'll be listening on Y98 late Saturday night. That's a 9:30 start, so 9 o'clock for the broadcast. Enjoy the late evening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks. Punch Rocky on the arm for me.
I will. I can do that. All right, that's Jen Cease joining us. I think I can. I don't want to get like called into the boss's office for assaulting my producer, but if Jen tells
she's
me to...
She's tiny, but she hits hard.
I'm sure. I don't think I've ever been hit by her, but...
We had the same interview one day, and I was doing it before her, and I was taking too long.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't mess with Jen. I would not mess with Jen.
I said it as a joke, but I was 100% serious at the same time. When after the media match, I said, she's the dirtiest player in soccer media here in St. Louis. And she did not deny that.
Was she the best player?
I don't think she was the best. I think there were some people who cheated being in their 20s.
Oh, that happens.
I have a feeling if you equalized everything, she would be, though.
Okay. We're late for break. We're going to do Joshua Baez from here to the end of the show. More in a moment on KMOX. Welcome back in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. We've got just a few minutes left in the program. We'll take you till 8 o'clock. Cardinals baseball tomorrow. You are going to want to be tuned in as it's going to be the debut of Joshua Baez. We assume he is going to be in left field. Again, Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol made that announcement earlier today. Jay Lee sending a message saying, I'm excited about Baez. I think a lot of people say that. Jeremy saying, I trust Baez will be fine here. A lot of people are saying that. And we'll see. We'll see. Like, guess what? Even if he struggles over the next 6 weeks, that's fine. Mason Wynn struggled over his first 6 weeks, and he was, you can make the argument that his first full season of Major League Baseball was his best full season of Major League Baseball, at least from a hitting perspective. So there's reasons to be excited. And Matthew Rocchio, it's taken me 4 hours to finally get to this point. I wanted to make it with Bernie, ran out of time. I've been wanting to mention it here. I'll finally get to it. I strongly believe that part of a baseball season is surviving 162. And surviving 162 includes sometimes you need boosts during the year. And I think Joshua Baez showing up, it can be a boost. Now, if he doesn't play well, if he doesn't hit, then it's not a boost. But bluntly, it doesn't change much. Left field, you've gotten, outside of like 2 weeks of Lars Nootbaar being good, you've basically gotten no production out of left field this year.
It's kind of like when, Gastelum came up and it was like, okay, this is going to be great. Look at the numbers he's did. And then he hit a wall. We see how hard Major League Baseball is. But what else were you going to do in the bullpen at that point?
Yeah.
Like, were you okay, time to give innings to Hansel Rincon? Like, it didn't make a lot of sense to do anything but that, despite the fact that, yeah, it didn't work out the way you wanted, and this might not work out the way you wanted, but that doesn't mean this isn't the right time to do it.
No, it is the right time. And if, and this is a big if he performs at a high level, if he hits a bunch of home runs, if he energizes this offense, if he lengthens the lineup, which is something they have needed all year long, well, then maybe you steal a couple more wins, and maybe that has some sort of impact down the line, because this team is still very much in contention, and it is my belief that none of these other teams that they're fighting against are especially that much better than them. Maybe they're all better than them a little bit, but I don't think any of these teams, whether it's the Padres, the Marlins, even the Diamondbacks, are probably the team that I think is the best of that group. I've been impressed with what they've been able to do, but maybe this bias, if he goes on a 2 week heater, that can be enough to steal you some games.
I think also what you're getting at is why a lot of people are making maybe too much of what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah.
Because I think we've all accepted they're not, roster wise, they're never going to match up to the Dodgers. This season, they're not going to match up to the Brewers or catch the Brewers. But there's been a lot of, well, can they at least maybe be a better team overall than the Cubs? And I think this weekend, that's why a lot of people are leaning on that, because it's like, can they crack that? Is that the ceiling that they can punch through, or is it somewhere below that? And I think that's why people are making such a big deal of this, three games in the middle of August.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I also know this, anytime we like say, oh, this is the moment,
yep,
you have to have success in this series, it seems like those are the moments where they don't have success.
Yep.
And then it ends up not mattering because 2 weeks later you look at the standings and they're right there. I would contend that the five-gamer against the Reds carries much more importance than this three-game series against Chicago.
Oh, undoubtedly. But that's also why I'm worried about the weather tomorrow, because with the five-game series coming up in Cincinnati, if it's a deluge tomorrow in Chicago, what's the plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have time right now to go look and see mutual off days. They would probably, you wouldn't want to play a doubleheader on Sunday because then you're playing back to back. I mean, that might be in the collective bargaining agreement that you can't play back to back
seven games in 5 days.
I don't know. I mean, it probably isn't, but I don't know what you would have to find the mutual off day, which there probably is. They'll wait though. In that situation, they got plenty of time. Tomorrow's game is scheduled to begin at 1:20. They've got plenty of time. Scott Warman is going to be on the pre and post tomorrow. So, Scott, get ready to hunker down in the studio, man. You might have a long way. And you're going to be working with him, Matthew.
I'll be
thinking of you guys if there's a long rain delay.
Let's get a nice wind breeze up through the north. Let's push that storm right through Chicago. No need for that. We want to see some baseball.
Yeah, let's get some baseball in. Let's have a normal day for Joshua Baez.
I should not have made dinner reservations.
Oh, did you really?
It was a casual one, not a serious one. Okay. They're for like 8:45. Which looked like it was going to be I was going to be in the clear for
dinner. I'm a dad with two young kids. I don't know what a dinner reservation is. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. More in a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. All right, only about a minute or so left here in the program tonight, and we will have Cardinals baseball the rest of the weekend here on KMOX. Again, they'll take on the Cubs tomorrow, 1:20, Sunday, 2:15. By the way, sidebar, just because I want to help you out, because I'm like that. I know we would rather you just always be tuned in to the games on KMOX, but I would be naive to say that I know that you don't watch some of the games on TV. Today was on Apple TV. Actually didn't get as many complaints about the Apple TV thing as we normally do. But Sunday's game is going to be, let's see, Matthew Rocchio, do you know the network that the Cardinal game will be on Sunday, the TV network?
I have no idea. It's on a different one?
It is. It's not on Cardinals TV.
Peacock?
It's on ABC.
Oh, I had no idea they had any kind of contract. Okay.
Yeah, so ABC 30 will be your home for Cardinals baseball on the TV side coming up on Sunday. Evidently, ABC's got a deal for a handful of Major League Baseball games this year, which I also was not aware of. Thanks for being tuned in. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday here on KMOX.